All right, good morning. Today's daf in Brachos is daf Samach Dalet. That would make today the last daf in Brachos. We have a little bit more to finish up from yesterday's daf. We will do so right now. We'll pretty much get to the end. Remember, please, that there is a siyum this evening in the sukkah at the shul after Minchat Maariv. Okay, so we'll talk about that a little bit later. In the meantime, the Samach Gimel Amud Aleph, we're in the... We're on the bottom of Samach Gimel Amud Aleph, and we are starting with the two dots. It's really the first wide line on the Amud. Tanya, the Gemara starts off like this: Rabbi Omer Le'olam Al Yibra Adam Reim B'soch Beiso. Don't have too many friends in your house, advises the Gemara. The Gemara quotes the same in name of Rabbi Shenemer Ish Reim Lehis Ru'a. The Pasuk Gemara quotes the Mishlei, says that if a person has too many friends, so it's going to get shaky. Okay, I guess the simple idea behind the Gemara over here is that to have too many friends, to have too many confidence, you will lose your privacy and you will lose your secrecy. So the Gemara advises not to have too many friends. The Gemara continues, Rav Chista, Tanya Rabbi Omer Al Yimna Adam Apotropos B'soch Beiso. Don't entrust your money with somebody else. Right. Gemara sounds like it's against financial advisors. Do not entrust your money with somebody else, says the Gemara. Don't hire somebody to take care of your assets. Because look, the Gemara gives a very simple example. Look at Yosef and Potiphar. Potiphar basically hired somebody to take care of it, to manage his affairs. And he hired Yosef. And if Potiphar wouldn't have done that, the Gemara here takes us from the perspective of Potiphar. If Potiphar would not have done that, so then nothing would have happened. Now, by the way, nothing happened, meaning Ashes Potiphar did not get her way with Yosef, but the idea the Gemara is suggesting is that had Potiphar managed himself and took care of his house himself, so then there wouldn't even have been an issue to begin with. Tanya, the Gemara continues, Rabbi Omer, Lama Nismecha Parsha Nazal Parsha Sota. The connection over here seems to be obvious. Why is Nazir next to Parsha Sota? Because the story of Potiphar resembles the story of Sota, as Ashes Potiphar was interested in Niyuf. So how can we have the two together? Lama Chosha Kol Aro Sota Bikukola Yaz Yatz Mamanayayim. Or the normal reaction, the natural reaction to seeing a sota in her degenerate state is that a person should abstain from wine, because wine is obviously what led to the sota behaving and acting like a sota. I'm a chizkia b'reidera parnach, I'm Rav Yochanan, laman esmecha parsha sota la parsha struma. Now parsha sota is right next to parsha struma, and why are the two next to one another? Masos, lo melcha kol sheish lo truma sa masos, v'enu notes then. Because if you have Trumas HaMaisos and you do not give it to a Kohen, Sof Nitzrach LaKohen Ayde Ishta. Well, if you don't go to the Kohen for that reason, there'll be other reasons why you're going to go to the Kohen. Shenemar V'Ishas Kadashav Lo Yeh Utsmech Li Ish Ishki Sista Ishto Uksiv Hevi Ishas Ishto V'Gomer. So okay, so in other words, it's like the difference between visiting the doctor out of wellness versus visiting doctor because you're really sick. If you don't do your well checkups, this is not me advising, because I'm not good about going to my doctor for well checkups. But if you don't go to your doctor for well checkups, you're going to see him when you're really sick. The Gemara says same thing with the person in a Kohen. If you don't go visit the Kohen regularly by giving him Trumas and Maestros, so then you're going to have to visit the Kohen and it's not going to be for a good reason. In fact, it'll be because your wife is a sota. V'lo od ela sof shenitzrach lahen. And furthermore, says the Gemara, is that where once upon a time the Kohen needed you, you're going to need the Kohen. Shenemar v'ishas kadoshav lo yeh. So Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak v'im nitnan sof mitaser. Now let's go the other way. What if you do give trumas amaisos to the Kohen and to the Levi? So by doing so, you will become wealthy. Shenemar ish asher yitain lekohen lo yihyeh. It's a funny pasuk. It's very hard to translate. I mean, the person who gives to the Kohen, it will be his. A lot of pronouns over there. What will be his? Meaning, by you giving to the Kohen, you will have more. Lo yihyeh. Lo yihyeh, and this is the Gemara's drasha, lo yihyeh mamon harbe. You're going to have a lot of money. Amar avuna barachya. Mishum Rabbi Lazar Kafakol Mishatif Shem Shemayim B'Tzaro Kofel Lo Panasaso. If you are going through some bad times and you are mishatev shem shemaim, you take shem Hashem and you add it to your bad times, meaning you basically include HaKadosh Baruch Hu in your bad times, your parnasa will be doubled. Shenem Ravaya Shakai B'tzarecha V'kesef Tawafos Lach. The pasuk in Eov, when he goes over his problems, his issues, the bracha that his friends give to him is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be with your tzaros, and your money shall toafos lach. Toafos from the word la'ofef means to fly. The Gemara says, Rishmon bar Nachmina amar parnasas ha'ma'ofefes lo. Meaning, you're going to have not only parnasa, but your parnasa is going to fly. It's going to really skyrocket. Kitzipur, just like a bird. Shenemar v'chesef toafos lach. Amar avtevi amar av yosha kol amar pa'asma midivri Torah inbo koach lamo biyam tzara. You weaken yourself from Torah, so you will not have strength to stand on a difficult day. Shenemar hisra peis biyom tzara tzar kachaka. The pasuk says that the tzaras will constrict you. It will hold you back because you were weakened from Torah. I'm Rav Ami bar Masna Mashmo v'afilu mitzvah achas. Not only if you weaken yourself from Torah, but let's say you do a mitzvah and you're pretty regular about doing the mitzvah, and then you loosen up a little bit, you weaken a little bit on that mitzvah. So the Gemara says it's the same result, meaning that when times are bad, you're really going to lose it. Shenamar Yisrael peis mikol makom. And the Gemara doesn't cite a new pasuk. The Gemara just simply goes back to the previous pasuk it quoted. And the word hisra peis means to loosen, and the hisra peis means, explains Rashi, means any type of loosening whatsoever, even if it's just a mitzvah. Amar Rav Safa, Rabbi Abba v'mishtai kishyarid chanina ben achai. Rav Safra teaches us that Rabbi Abahu was relating the following story. Kishiyarid Chanina ben Achai, Rav Yeshua Lagola, Hayama Abishanim Bekovei Chadashim, Bechutz Arts. Okay. When Chanina, who was the nephew of Rav Yeshua, when he went down to the exile, meaning he went to Bavel, so what did he do? So he was Ma'abishanim. So he intercalated in Chutz Arts. Okay, so let's start off with a couple of brief words of introduction. We all know that the calendar nowadays that we all get from either our school or our funeral home, one or the other. So it tells us what whether or not it's going to be an Ibri year, and it's not going to be an Ibri year, because the calendars were set sometime around the 3rd century. So for the last 1700 years approximately, we have been operating with a fixed calendar. Before that, however, the calendar was not fixed. And so therefore, we set the calendar based on the month. If you take a look outside this morning, you'll see that the moon is now waning. And that means that we're getting to the end of the month of Tishrei, just like that. And so that's good. And then we do that for 12 times a year, and we end up with 12 months. The problem is that our lunar calendar is 11 days short of a solar calendar. And so therefore, about once every 3 years, we're going to need to add another month, because that 11 day deficit every year, so that accumulates to 33 days, and so therefore by the end of 3 months, we're 33 days behind the solar calendar. So what do? Approximately every 3 years, approximately, we add another month. Now, we know what to do because we have this based on a fixed calendar. Every 19 years, we intercalate, we add another month every 7 years. Okay, good. That's what we do nowadays. In the good old days, how do they intercalate? So it's very simple. They judged. Meaning if the month of Adar, if Purim is real, it's a really cold Purim, so that means, I think we better add another month. Now I'm oversimplifying, because there's a lot of factors that go into whether or not they're going to add another month, but come Adar time, they make the decision of whether they're going to add another month or not. So where was this done? So it was done in Eretz Yisrael, meaning that the Sanhedrin in Eretz Yisrael will be the one responsible for adding another month, making the decision and the determination whether they should add another month. Good. Gemara over here tells the story of the nephew of Rabbi Yoshua, who went out to the exile, so he started adding another month, meaning he started intercalating in Bavel. Now, Shigru Acharav Shnei Talmidei Chachamim. So now two messengers were sent to him, and just to give away some of the story that's coming up, they're basically going to tell him, don't do that. Don't be ma'abir shanim when you're living out in Bavel. That needs to be done in Eretz Yisrael, not in Bavel. Rashi over here, if you can take a look at Rashi on the left-hand column, this is Tosfos finished. By the way, Tosfos finished yesterday, or 2 days ago, Samach Beis. So Rashi over here points out, Ein ma'abrim es hashanim ela b'Yehuda, that you only perform Ibr Sharna only in the province of Yehuda. Dechsev l'shechno sidrashu. The Pasuk says, I think it's Parshas Re'eh, that you only go there, called Drisha Sha'atadar Shalayu Ela B'Shechno Shalmakam, only where there is Shechina, meaning Yerushalayim. Okay, that's the first parak of Sanhedrin. So in other words, you're not allowed to intercalate B'Ma'abir Shanim outside of Yerushalayim. Good. So we all see what the problem is, and he's doing it. The nephew of Yehoshua is actually doing it. Now, as the Gemara is going to point out in just a moment, it's not the first person to be Ma'abir Shana outside of Yerushalayim. In fact, Rabbi Akiva did so himself. And the Gemara is going to note that, and the Gemara is basically going to wonder, well, why can Rabbi Akiva do it, and why can the nephew of Rabbi Yeshua not do it? Okay, so, and stay tuned as the Gemara is about to ask that question. So, Shigur Acharo Shnei Tamid HaChacham and Rav Yosef ben Kippur, Uben Benoshel Zechariah ben Kevutil. So they send two Talmid Chachamim over to the nephew of Rabbi Yehoshua, Chanina ben, his name is Chanina, and they're basically going to tell him, no good. So he sees them coming. Sounds like from the Gemara he's a little suspicious, why are you here? And so they say, well, we just came to learn Torah. Amar lai lomo Torah banu. Hichriz alem anashim alalu gedolei ador haim. Now he knows who they are, and he announces to the Beis Medrash at large, they are not only Talmid Chachamim, but their father served in the Beis Hamikdash. Kosa Shashaninu, Zechariah ben Kavuto, Amar Harbei Pamim Karis Lefana B'Sefer Daniel. The Gemara quotes in Yuma how Zechariah ben Kavuto, you know, they would keep the Kohen Gadol up all night on Yom Kippur, so that next morning he wouldn't have to wake up. And they kept him up all the whole night so that he wouldn't become a Baal Keri. And so the next morning, he would be now prepared to do the Avodah. How would they keep him up all the whole night? So they read to him from Tanakh. And the more exciting and interesting parts of Tanakh. So Zechariah ben Kavitil says that when he had to keep the Kohen Gadol up all night, so he read to him from Sefer Daniel. Okay. Hischel hu mitameh. The Hematarim. Now, they engaged in halachic discourse. Everything he said, they said opposite. He said, I believe this is Tameh, to which they responded, it's Tahor. Who Oser Vehematirim? He said it's Oser, they said it's Mutter. Hichriz Aleihem. So now, to everything he said, they said the opposite. He announced, Anoshim Alalu, Shel Shavhem, Shel Tohuhem. Then he made a new proclamation. You see these guys who just came from Eretz Yisrael? Don't be so impressed. And he said, actually, things that are much more unflattering. He said, they are Shav and they are Tohu. Waste and nonsense. So, Amar lo kfar banita v'yatoya cholestor. They said to him, to Chanina, you can't do that. You built us up. You know how it works once you built us up. You can't break us down. Kfar kardarta v'yatoya cholestor. You built the fence. You can't bust the fence down. So he wants to know, okay, so but why are you doing that? Everything I'm saying, you're saying the opposite. Why do you do that? I'll tell you the problem. The problem is you're out here in Chutz Aretz and you're making the decision of whether or not to add another month or not, and you may not do that outside of Eretz Yisrael. So Amalam Balo Kiva Ben Yosef Ayyamab Shanim Kavechadashim Chutz Aretz. So he says, yeah, but Akiva did it. So if he can do it, can't I do it? So he says, well, Rabbi Akiva was special. And not only was he special, there was nobody who rivaled Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva had the right to intercalate outside of Eretz Yisrael. You, however, you are not the greatest Talmid Chacham of your generation. Furthermore, you live outside of Eretz Yisrael, you don't have the right. He says, what do you mean? I lived in Eretz Yisrael, Chanina explains to the two messengers. And I remember when I left Eretz Yisrael that there was no one as great as me. I know we seem to be missing some points of anivus in the course of the story. I understand that, but in other words, apparently there's some gauge, and he's gauging, and he says there was nobody like me. Well, he says it's true, but you left Eretz Yisrael a long time ago, and what you left were kids. I mean that both literally and figuratively, or the Gemara says it by way of analogy. The Gedi, the little goats, the kids that you left out there in Eretz Yisrael, they are now developed rams. They grew up. So you're right. When you left Eretz Yisrael, no one was as great as you. Now, somebody's as great as you. And not only that, but who do you think sent us? Right. And now they were as clear as day. If you listen to us and you stop intercalating the year, that's great. And if you don't listen to us, you're going to be put in excommunication. Chayrim. And not only that, but the message that we were instructed to send is as follows. If you listen to us, great. But if not, why don't you do the following? Go up to the mountain, Achia Yivne Mizbech, and Achia will build an altar. Chanina Yinagim Bekinor, and Chanina meaning you, or Chananya, I should say. Yinagim Bekinor, you're going to play in the heart. Meaning, and why don't you just simply go serve idolatry? Right? Now, obviously it's a very harsh message, meaning that if you continue to intercalate here in Bavel, it'll be tantamount to you performing idolatry. It's a very harsh message. I think the basic idea of the Gemara is that there should be one central point of leadership, and any faction of that leadership is tantamount to like totally, it's like treason. So to which the when the people are now hearing this conversation, everyone starts crying. Now, the God forbid they said, and we don't want that, and apparently they applied pressure to Chananya to stop doing what he was doing. And the Gemara says, now, why was their message so strong? So, to which the Gemara's answer is, because what you lose is a central point of Yerushalayim. Ki mitzion teitzei sora. Torah has to come out of Yerushalayim, and by him assuming that leadership position of establishing the calendar in Bavel, you are detracting from Yerushalayim, and that is simply no good. Okay. That pretty much ends the story, but the Gemara now just wants to tie up one loose end, which is the following. When these two messengers came to Chananya out in Bavel, so basically the point they were trying to make is, you're not correct, you're not right, and they did that by way of learning. So that when they arrived at a halakhic conclusion, he said one thing and they said another. And the Gemara just is bothered by the following. Bishlamahu matar vehem etamim l'chomra. Look, when his conclusion was something is tahor, and they say in response, nah, it's tameh. So at least you can understand, meaning they're just being machmir. And like we've talked about many times before, anybody can be machmir. It doesn't take a big chacham. And most of the time you have nothing to lose because all you're doing is just being machmir. It's not always true, but when he says something is tameh, and they say, nah, it's tahor, well, wait a second. He's ruling that it's tameh, and they're ruling it's tahor. In other words, you're really, if he's right, right, that's not being machmir, and, you know, in other words, and that's tumah. So, v'hatanya chacham shetim ein chaver v'shal atahir, iser ein chaver v'shal ahatir, so kasar v'keichad ol nigra v'astray. Now, their argument, their thinking is, well, we so want to make the point that nobody should be following him, and he does not have central authority, and we so want to make and stamp that point that even to the extent where he says something is tameh, we're going to say it's tahor, even though you're right, it's a difficult position to take, but we want to make sure that everyone understands that he is not the person to follow. Tanur Rabbanan, the Gemara continues, Kishnichnus to Rabbeinu L'Kerem B'Yavne. The rabbis went to Kerem B'Yavne. Kerem B'Yavne, where to this very day exists a fantastic yeshiva. The first of the Hesder yeshivas is now in Yavetz, what we call KBY. So they went to Karen B'Yavne, right? The story behind Karen B'Yavne is that Rav Yochanan Zakkai, right? We'll see the Gemara and Gittin together. Rav Yochanan Zakkai, so he went to the Romans. It's a whole story in of itself of how he went to the Romans, but basically went to the Romans, had the Romans' ear, the Caesar's ear, and one of his three requests were, Tein li Yavne v'chachameha. I want to the town of Yavne, and I want the yeshiva of Yavne. And so began the yeshiva of Yavne. So, Kishnichnas, Rabbi Selna, Karam Yavne, Sham, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Nechemia, V'Rabbi Eliezer, Benosha, Rabbi Yosef, Aglili, Pasku, Kulam, V'chorach, Sanya, V'darsha. So, there are now an assembly of Tamid Chachamim, and each one of them now, being guests, all said something about the host, the hosts of Karen B'Yavne, who hosted them. And so now what we're going to do from here until basically the end of the Masechta is we're going to go over everyone's introductory remarks. Pasuk Rav Yehuda Rosh HaMadarim B'chol Makom B'chvod Torah V'darash. So Rav Yehuda opens up. Now Rav Yehuda over here is described as the Rosh HaMadarim. Rosh HaMadabrim, Rashi says, get ready, Masechta Shabbos, we'll see in about a month from now, how Rav Yehuda is the Rosh HaMadabrim. It's a government-appointed position that he always speaks first at any assembly. So in other words, he had a political position, and so therefore he was elected, I don't know if elected is the right word, but the appointed to speak first. So, B'chol Makom B'chvod HaTorah V'darash, and here's what he said, Moshe Yikach HaZol V'natalo Michotz HaMachaneh. After the Chet HaEgel, Moshe said, you know what, I'm leaving. And he does. And he picks himself up and he walks to the outskirt of the Machina, the encampment of the Jewish people. Now, how far was it for the person to walk to Moshe? It really wasn't that far. So the Gemara says it was just 12 mil, 12 kilometers. All right, and that is a walk. It's not nothing. But in other words, but still, when the Torah describes this person walking to Moshe, so it was he was called Mevakesh Hashem, someone beseeching HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Tamid HaChachamim, Shehalchem Meir Leir, Umedina Lemedina Lomo Torah, Alachas Kama Vekama. Now, there was apparently some sort of assembly in Yavne. He says, look, some people walked much more than 12 mil in order to get here. So if the Torah describes somebody walking just 12 mil to learn Torah as Mevakshe Hashem, can you imagine the people that have come here to learn Torah who traveled much greater? Now, as long as we're talking about this moment where Moshe left, so the Gemara is going to stay on this on these psukim for a little bit. V'diber Hashem al Moshe panim al panim. Am Rav Yitzchak Amar lo Kadosh Baruch Hu LaMoshe, Moshe ani v'ata nazbir panim ba'alacha. We should be nazbir panim. We should have pleasant faces to one another when we're learning halacha. Kav Yachol, obviously, we're talking about a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Now, Iker Darmi Kach Amar lo Kadosh Baruch Hu LaMoshe, Kishim Shani Hizbarta lach panim kach atazbir panim liYisrael. Look, when I taught you Torah, so I gave you sefer panim. Right? La'olam mekabel asadam b'sefer panim yafos. Meaning, you shouldn't look curmudgeoned, you should look happy and excited to see people, says the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. So, look, Hashem says to Moshe, when I taught you Torah, so I taught it to you, b'sefer panim. So, when you teach it to Yisrael, you should do the same. V'hachzera olim kamo. And, obviously, by you taking the olam moed and by you staying in the outskirts of the camp, in other words, it kind of showing that that's not sefer panim. Meaning you're not in the camp, you're outside the camp. Basically, Hashem was saying to Moshe, move it back in. V'shav el ha-machana, am Rabbi Abba, am Elokosh Baruch Hu, l'Moshe, achshav yamru, harav v'kas v'tame v'kas yisom mata elayim. Well, you stay out here. So that means that Akash Baruch Hu is angry, obviously, because idolatry has just been committed. And the Talmud is angry, and so now the Jewish people are going to be like, where does that leave us? So, now Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, I'm advising, let's say a little bit better, I'm instructing that you take the Olam Moed and move it back into the camp. So let's put it like this, makes him an offer. You move it back into the camp, that's great. The Imlav, but if you do not move it into the camp, Yoshua ben Nun, Tamid Cha, Misharis Tachtecha, so I'll just simply have Yoshua take over. Okay, it's really that simple. So now I'm advising / instructing you, move it back in. And now that's the pshat in the pasuk. V'shav al-machaneh is not just the Torah retelling he brought it back in, but rather he was instructed to bring it back in. Now, even though he did bring it back in, which meant that Yeshua did not have to take over, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu uttered the words that Yeshua was going to take over, therefore it's going to happen. Yeshua will take over. Shenamar Mesharto Yeshua Benun, Nar Lo Yamish Mitoch Ha'olam. V'od Pasuk Rav Yehuda Bechvot Torah V'darash. Now, Rav Yehuda was not finished. He had other introductory remarks. And he says like this, Haskes Ushama Yisrael, Hayom Hazen Yes Niyes La'am. Good. Okay, we just read it. What was that? That was Kisavo? Okay, good. Okay, Haskes Ushama Yisrael, Hayom Hazen Niyes La'am, V'chiyos Hayom Nitna Torah Yisrael. Now, that's Parshas Kisavo. That's like the end of the Torah. We just learned it a couple weeks ago. And so, what does that mean, today, your nation? It's not true. The person engaged in the study of Torah is beloved, the Torah is beloved to him as the day it was actually given, with that kind of excitement and enthusiasm. Amar Rabbi Tankun Berei de Rabbi Chia, Ish Kvar Akotei de Sharei Adam Korei Kriyash Mashachos V'Arvis V'Erev Echad Enu Korea. So the Gemara gives an example, some sort of palpable example of how this is so. How every day like is as exciting as Har Sinai. This is kind of like the inverted form of how exciting it should be to us. Let's say every day, day in and day out, the person says Shema in the evening and the morning as is the mitzvah. And then one day he missed. Not only one day, but just one evening. He misses Shema. Doma kimi shalo kara kriya Shema mi'olam. It's as if he has never read Kriya Shema all of his days. Now, the Gemara is not saying this in a dejecting way. The Gemara is not simply saying, now you might as well just give up. The Gemara is not suggesting that. The Gemara is just simply saying that if the excitement and the enthusiasm of learning Torah was such that it was as if we received it at Har Sinai, so then you wouldn't even give it up one day. Haskes asu kitot kitot v'asku b'Torah. Now the word haskes, also if you look carefully at the word, you will see the word kita in it. Like kita aleph, kita bet, you remember. So asu kitot kitot v'asku b'Torah. The Gemara says that the proper way to learn Torah is in groups of people. Do not learn the Torah on your own. L'fishe in a Torah nikneis ala b'chabura. Because Torah can only be acquired only with a group of people. Rav Yosi, Rav Chanina, Dam Rav Yosi, Rav Chanina, my dechsev, cherev habadim v'no alu, cherev al sonem shetamidei chacham shiyoshim ba'bevad v'oskim b'Torah, sword to people who isolate themselves to learn Torah. V'lo odol shemitav shim. Not only that, says the Gemara, but moreover, is they become tipesh. Ksiv hach v'no lo, ksiv hasam asher no alnu. It says that we were foolish. V'lo od ela shechotim. By the way, that's talking about the Meraglim. Ela shechotim. Shenemar v'asher chatanu. Okay, the Gemara speaks about how important it is to study Torah in a group of people and not to isolate yourselves and to learn it individually. I've told the story before, but I'll get the opportunity to tell the story again. The Torah Tumim was written by Rav Baruch Epstein, right? And Rav Baruch Epstein, lived about 100 years ago, a little bit more than that. Anyway, so he writes about it, he writes a biography, and he writes a story about his uncle, right? My Uncle the Netziv. In fact, the name of the book is called My Uncle the Netziv. So it's a very nice, it's not that long, but it's a very nice biography about Netziv, about the Netziv, about Volozhin, right? The closing of the yeshiva in Volozhin. Anyway, I recommend it. It's very good. So anyway, so it was put out years ago. I don't remember how many, but it was put out years ago. He wrote in Hebrew, but you can get a copy of it in English. So they put it out years ago, and at one point in time, they realized what's that word when you make a biography but you don't mention like any of the, in other words, it was just It was like angelic. What, hagiography? Hagiography? Whatever the case is. Meaning that it was like real. They wrote real stories, and in other words, the Nitziv was, you know, he was great, and the Torah to me was great, but they just like wrote like, you know, daily life of the Nitziv. So they mentioned how he used to read the Yiddish paper, the Nitziv, on Shabbos. So things which I know to us don't seem that scandalous, but one of the other things that he mentioned is that he was critical of the Nitziv. He was critical of the Rambam. He says that one of the things the Rambam did not do is that, you know, he learned Torah, but in isolation. He did not learn it in a group, and he didn't have anybody check his work. And he says this is he quoting the Nitziv. He says, and every now and then, occasionally, you're going to find a mistake in the Rambam. By the way, the Rambam himself later subsequently says, yeah, you know what? I think I wrote over here. I think it's I think I wrote an error. Okay, we're all fallible. So he says that regarding quoting the Nitziv about the Rambam, that, you know, every now and then the Rambam, one of his criticisms of the Rambam is that he wrote his work in isolation. So after the book was published and sent out, the publisher looked to recall the books and to try to get those controversial statements out. I don't know if it's so controversial, but whatever. Anyway, that's the. But the Gemara over here speaks to the idea of that you should learn Torah not in isolation, but you should learn it in groups. It really will sharpen the Torah. Dava Acher. The Gemara quotes that now another drasha from the word haskes for Shema Yisrael. Kitatu atzmechem al divrei Torah. You should grind up the word kitatu. Lechtos means to grind. You should grind yourself up over Torah. Kida amar reish lekish, amar reish lekish. I mean, nainshi in divrei Torah means kaim emela b'mishem emes atzma olaha. You really should kill yourself over Torah. Now, this doesn't mean literally. I mean, we just went over Rabbi Kiva, but it means that you should struggle. Learning Torah is not easy. It is a struggle. Right, the Pesukim in the beginning of Parshas Chukas, that this is Torah that you kill yourself over. Right, again, it's a drush, right? The Torah is just simply describing what happens when you find a dead person in a tent. But in other words, the drush is this is a Torah where a man is to kill himself over. The Gemara says the correct way to learn Torah is to first listen and then chew it up. Meaning that, you certainly find this by younger people as well, that first they're not good at listening, they're very good at talking, but they're not good at listening. The correct way to learn Torah is to listen, that's the has, right? Rashi quotes the pasuk, where we see has means to be quiet, to be still, to listen, and then afterwards you want to mash it, you want to challenge, you want to grind it up, that's good. First learn Torah and then think about the Torah, right? Not exactly what is intuitive, but yes. In other words, even though you don't fully understand what you're learning, but learn it, and then afterwards think about it, ponder it. Amri debe Rav Yana, my dechsiv, ki mitz chalav yotzi chema. The juice of milk produces butter. Umitz af yotzi dam. The juice of anger produces blood. Umitz apayim yotzi riv. And double anger, I don't know how else to say it, produces quarreling. So, and the Gemara explains this obscure pasuk in the following way. B'mi'ata motzei chema shel Torah, b'mi shemaki chalav, shiyanak mishtei imo, aleha. So the, where are you going to find Torah? So the person who is yonek mishtei imo, meaning the Gemara here is obviously speaking by way of analogy, right? Someone who enjoys the milk of his mother, so, and that milk is, you know, processed, so, right, that's the mitz chalav, so that such a person produces butter. Butter over here, by way of analogy, refers to Torah. So, umitz af yotzi dam, kol tam shekoes alav rabba, pam rishon v'shosek, zochel afchim ben dam tam eladam tahor. Your Rebbe gets angry at you, interestingly enough, says the Gemara, that's a good thing. Good. Meaning, and by you not responding, and by you just simply listening and taking the anger, so you're going to be, eventually you'll become a Talmid Chacham, be able to identify the difference between Dam Tameh versus Dam Tahor. By listening to your Rebbe, even when your Rebbe is angry, not just once, but even two times, so you will end up becoming such a Talmid Chacham, you will even understand monetary law. The Gemara is about to tell us that that is the most difficult discipline of Torah. Meaning that right now we're learning Seder Moed. Well, take it back. We're about to, tomorrow, we're about to start Seder Moed. Quote unquote, the easier of the Masechtos. And then we have Nashim, and then we have Nezikin. Nezikin says the Gemara over here, the Gemara is about to tell us, it's the most difficult. Dinan Rabbi Yishmael Amar, Arotzi Shiachim, Yasek B'dina Mamonos. You want to get really smart? Should learn dinei mamonos, learn the laws regarding money. She'ein lecha mitzoa betorah yosem mehem she'ein kemayin noveya. It's like a wellspring running. In other words, it doesn't seem to have a beginning, doesn't seem to have an end, it just kind of flows. So the Gemara says that's Seder Nezikin. I'm Rav Shmuel bar Nachmani, my dechziv im navalta behis nasei, v'im zamos yad lepeh. And the Gemara darshins this pasuk similar to what we've been saying. If you degrade yourself over Torah, meaning that you're not arrogant and you just simply, and your Rebbe gets angry at you and you accept it and fine, I take it. So then eventually you will be great in Torah. However, im zamam yad lepeh, but if you do not ask any questions, explains Rashi, and you're just silent and you're not engaged in the learning of Torah, so that means someone's going to ask you a question and Yad Lepen, you're just going to put your hand over your mouth. I don't know the answer. Okay. And that was all Rabbi Yehuda. Wow. Now, by the way, I don't know, to tell you the truth. I got lost somewhere in the middle of Rabbi Yehuda's introductory remarks because at one point maybe the Gemara was just simply giving other drashas. I don't know if all this was Rabbi Yehuda during his introductory remarks. Okay, we move on. Now we're up to Reb Nechemiah. Pasuk Reb Nechemiah bechvorach sanya v'darosh mein dechsev v'yomer shaul ala keni l'chusur redu mitoch amalek penosivcha imo v'ate asisa chesed im kol b'nei Yisrael. Shaul sends a message to the Canaan, and he said to the Canaan, very simple, we're about to go attack Amalek. Why don't you get out now while you have the chance? Because when we go down there, we're going to eradicate Amalek, and he says to the Canaan, and we don't want you to be part of that. Now, the Canaan, of course, are the same as the Midianim, which means that they're all descendants of Yisro. And it basically has a karasatov to Yisro, so they were sent a message, get out now before we attack the Amalek. V'alodraim kavachomer, u'ma Yisro shalo karvis Moshe l'chvod atzmo, kach hama'areach tamachach m'soch beso ma'achilo, u'mashkehu, now look, when Yisro took Moshe in, he did so, says the Gemara, for personal reasons, for self-aggrandizement. And meanwhile, he received a reward. And not only did he receive his reward, but his children received a reward for taking Moshe in. So can you imagine if now somebody were taking a Talmid Chacham, and basically he was saying this as complimentary to the town, to the community of Yavne, for taking all the Talmidei Chachamim in for this particular assembly. Pasuk Rav Yossi Bechvod Achsanya V'Darish. We're now up to Rav Yossi, and the pasuk says, and Rav Yossi now is speaking, and he opens his introductory remarks go like this: Lo sisayv edomi ki achicha hu, lo sisayv mitri ki ger ayisa ba'artso. The Torah tells us that we are not to loathe an Egyptian, because we were guests by the Egyptians. Now, that's funny. We were guests by the Egyptians? wouldn't exactly say that. Now, the Gemara here is not describing Egypt when we were slaves in Egypt. We're going back to the very beginning. Even when Yosef and the brothers came down, the Egyptians were more than happy to have us, but not because they wanted us, but because they needed us. So, good. Same point. Pasuk Rabbi Elazar ben Osher Rabbi Yossi Aglili b'chvod achsanya v'darish. We're now moving on to Rabbi Eliezer, the son of Rabbi Yossi Aglili. And he starts off like this. Vayivarech Hashem es Oved Adom ba'avor Aron Elokim. Oved Adom hosted the Aron. Good. Now, for the Aaron didn't eat. So the Aaron was an easy guest. And all he needed to do was just sweep in front of the Aaron, and that would be it. So now you invite a Talmid Chacham into your house. Host him. Feed him. Can you imagine? So, Mahi Bracha Shabachu, Am Rav Yehuda Bar Zvid. And now, what bracha did he receive? We're going back to Oved Edom. Oved Edom, who was the host of the Aron. So, what bracha did he in fact receive? So, the Gemara says, Am Rav Yehuda Bar Zvid, Zu, Chamos Veches Kaloseha, Shialdu Shisha Shisha, Bekerem, or Bekeres, I should say, Bekeres Echad. Okay, so what he received is the following bracha. His wife, and his eight daughter-in-laws. He had eight sons, explains Rashi. That explains the eight daughter-in-laws. Didn't have to be through eight sons, but anyway, his eight sons and his eight daughter-in-laws. So every one of them had, right, sextuplets. Shisha, Shisha, Bekarasecha. Now that should sound familiar because that's the same exact language that's used for our proliferation in Egypt. Shenamar. Now, how do we know that? So the Gemara now goes back to the Navi. Here we go to Divrei Hayamim. We're now on the top of Samach Dal Amud Aleph. Pa'alti Hashmini v'ksiv ki berchu Elokim ki eilem ibnei oved adam chama uvneim v'achareim ish chayol b'koach la'avoda shishim u'shnayim la'oved adam. Oved adam had a total of 62. So 62. So let's do the math. It's very simple. He had six daughter-in-laws, each one of them, let's do the math better. He had eight daughter-in-laws, each one of them had six. Six times eight is 48. His wife also had, so that's another six. 48 plus six, that's 54. Plus the eight sons. Okay, that gets us to 62. Good. All right. Amar of Avin Halevi Kol Adochiches Hasha Shah Dochko V'Kol Anidchem Imnei Hasha Shah Nidches Mipanav. In other words, timing is essential, and don't rush anything. Meaning, when the time is right, the time is right. And if you rush the hour will rush you. But if you allow things to happen organically, things will happen organically. So the Gemara says, I'll give you an example of this. Midrava Rav Yosef. The Gemara uses Rava and Rav Yosef as an example of this idea. Rav Yosef Sina v'Rabba Okaharim. Now, classic Gemara over here. Rav Yosef is Sinai, meaning he had tremendous bikias. He knew his Mishnayos, he knew his Brisos. He's what the Gemara describes as being Sinai. And Rabbah, on the other hand, was Okaharim, who was able to uproot a mountain. Meaning, through his analysis of the halacha, it was so penetrating, it was ke'ilu, as if he was able to pick up a mountain. Now, Itzer Chlu Shaita, now, there was an opening in the Beis Medrash. We needed a new Rosh Yeshiva. Shachalasim Sina ve'okaharim eza mehem kodem. So, now, given the opportunity of Rosh Yeshiva, a need for Rosh Yeshiva, so our choices are going to be either Rav Yosef, who is Sinai, or Rabbah, who is Okaharim. So which one's better? Shachalu Sinai Kodem, Shachol Srichem Lemare Chitai. So they said, what do you mean? It's not a question. Sinai is better. Rav Yosef is better. Because in terms of a penetrating analysis, that's obviously very important. But to be able to know and rattle off all the Mishnayos and all the Brisos and have them at your fingertips and have that kind of access, everybody needs that. So the Gemara says, so it's better now if we appoint Rav Yosef as Rosh Hashiva. Alfa Pikin lo kibal alav Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef turned down the opportunity. He did not want to rush the hour. Now, how did he know that it was not the right time to accept the position of Rosh Yeshiva? And this is where the story gets a little strange. The Amalei Chaldei, because he was told the following by the Chaldeim. The Chaldeim are the people who were familiar with astrology. And it's not that long ago where we went over a little bit of astrology in the Gemara, back at the end of the Nuns. But, okay, so I don't fully understand this part. And furthermore, the Torah tells us, Tamim Tiyeh Im Hashem Lakecha, we're really not supposed to buy into this, so and let it affect and influence our life. So, okay, as I mentioned, it's a stranger part of the story. But anyway, he was told by the Chaldeans, Malka Tartishnim, that you will be a leader for 2 years. And so, and that's it. Meaning, and no more than that, because you will die. So in other words, he understands now that if he accepts the position of leadership, this will be the last 2 years of his life, and he's not ready for the last 2 years of his life. So Malach Rabbah Esr Mitar Tishnin. So now Rabbah assumes the position of leadership for 22 years. So Vitar Tishnin Malach Rav Yosef, Esr Mitar Tishnin, Malach Rav Yosef Tar Tishnin Opaga. And then for the next 2.5 years, Rav Yosef does in fact take that position of leadership after Rabbah dies. Now, Kohanach Shnin de Malach Rabbah Afilu Umna LeBeis HaLokara. Now, for those 22 years where Rabbah was Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Yosef wanted to assume no position of leadership. Meaning, says the Gemara, that, in other words, think about it, Rav Yosef really could have been the Rosh Yeshiva all those 22 years. Meaning he was in fact asked first. Can you imagine, by the way, can you imagine Rabbah, like, in other words, he knows that he was the second choice. Okay, but that's how life works sometimes. But anyway, the Gemara says that he so wanted to make sure that everyone understood he was not the Rosh Yeshiva, he wouldn't even call the bloodletter over to his house, meaning that he would accept no special benefit because he wanted people to know that he was not the Rosh Yeshiva. Amar Rabbi Avin. We'll do a little bit more, and then the rest of it we'll finish this evening. Amar Rabbi Avin Halevi, my dechsev Yancha Hashem Yom Sarai Skev Hashem Elokei Yaakov Elokei Yaakov Elokei Avraham VYitzchak. So the Gemara wonders. With the pasuk we're familiar with, we say it daily. Okay, we don't say it on Shabbos, and we're not saying it on Chol HaMoed, but you understand. So, but anyway, the pasuk we're familiar with, and it's just curious, says the Gemara, that we speak to the God of Yaakov. And not the God of Yitzchak, and not the God of Avram. Mikan labalakor sheyichnes ba'av yeshokara. If you're the owner of the beam, and the beam needs to be transported from one place to another, and you're its owner, you not only lift up the beam together with other people, you get under the thick part of the beam. Meaning, it's your beam. You take the brunt of that beam. Yaakov Avinu was the father of the 12 Shvatim. He takes the heavier load in terms of the lifting. You enjoy a meal that a Talmid Chacham was at. It's ki'ilu. You receive benefit from the ziv hashchina. You eat from a meal that a Talmid Chacham is at, ki'ilu, you're enjoying the ziv hashchina. V'amar Rabbi Avin Alev Anifta Mechavero Al Yomar Lech Lo Bishalom Ela Lech Lishalom. When excusing yourself from somebody, do not say Lech Bishalom with a base, but rather Lech Lishalom. Share Yisro. Shamal Ola Moshe Lech Lishalom Alev Yitzliach. Davi Shamal Ola Shalom Lech Bishalom Halach V'nitla. So the Lishalom has shown better results. That's what Yisro says to Moshe when departing. David, on the other hand, to Avshalom, who said, Lech Bishalom. Okay, yeah, that wasn't good. When you excuse yourself from a mace, meaning, as Rashi describes, you're escorting, and you're escorting the mace. So don't say, Al Yom Alo Lech Lishalom, Ala Lech Bishalom. There, it's more appropriate to say Bishalom. Shenemar Va'atatavo Avasecha Bishalom. Okay. I'll pause over here. We'll pick this up this evening.